The following programming is sponsored by Ask the Experts. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group. Welcome to the Ask the Experts show, sponsored by the Cardamone Law Firm for Injured Workers. Now sit back as Philadelphia's top experts in the legal, health, financial, and home improvement world educate you in the fields of workers' comp law, wealth management, family law, estate planning, pain management, and more. Call in now if you have a question for our experts at 888-329-3306. Now let's welcome our host, Steve O.
Hey, good morning, Philadelphia. Welcome to another Ask the Expert show. We're with you every Tuesday from 10 to 11 with experts in the field of health, legal, financial, and home improvement. As you know, if you've been listening long enough, you know the first show every week is our show with attorney Angela Giampolo, and she's an attorney. She handles LGBTQ law. But not only that, she does family law, employment law, estate planning, and real estate law. And she is becoming one of my favorite shows because we're in 8 cities. So that's big. But let's welcome attorney Angela Giampolo.
Thank you, Steve. How are you this morning?
Well, look what's behind you.
It's the Christmas episode.
Oh, my gosh. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Are you in your office or at home today?
Neither. I'm at the Marriott. This is all thanks to our sponsor. No, I'm kidding. I'm traveling, and I saw this, and I figured this would be a great background for our show.
What a great background. Hey, how are you doing?
Good. I'm good. I love this time of year. Christmas is my absolute, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, if I'm not already a happy person, I'm even happier. So.
Is it any different during the holidays, especially with family law, as it is in other months?
Sure. Great question. It's actually every practice area is a little bit different for the holidays. And I've been doing this for 15 years, and I would say, you know, literally every other year except this one, estate planning completely, no pun intended, dies down between Thanksgiving and Christmas, where nobody wants to spend disposable income, you know, during the holidays on potentially death and dying, right? So Thanksgiving to Christmas is always a slow time for estate planning. This year, that has not been the case. Everyone is being proactive. I don't know if it's the Omicron variant, you know, rearing its head during this time that made people realize, like, oh my God, you know, this pandemic is never leaving us. We didn't do it the first time. I don't know what is different about this Thanksgiving to Christmas, but everybody is calling me about preventative, proactive type things like a prenup or estate planning or what have you. Family law, to your point around dissolutions and divorces and whatnot, there's always an uptick because the holidays make it more like it's one or the other. Either people are calling for a consultation, but they plan on doing something in the new year, but they don't want to rock the boat during the holidays, or the holidays really put them over the edge and they can't get through the holidays without beginning this process. And so it's one or the other, but either way, if people are thinking about it, they typically reach out during the holidays. But yeah, this year for estate planning, it has been a banner year where people are reaching out during the holidays.
You know, we've shared this with people. You are taking your message out on the road, so to say.
I am, yeah.
And which is amazing. I am in awe of you because you're not just going to major cities. You're going to the heart of the beast. You're really going to be out there. Are you going to be, now, just so people understand, you handle LGBTQ law. Will you be encompassing all areas like you do here in Philadelphia, family, employment, estate planning, and real estate?
Absolutely. And corporate and, you know, transgender name changes, everything that I do that falls under the rubric of LGBTQ law will be encompassed in my nationwide expansion. because that all of those areas, I mean, ultimately, when I started the law firm in 2008, the idea was to gear a law firm towards the LGBTQ community for all of their legal needs. So even if it doesn't fall under one of the areas that I handle or that my firm handles, we will still find a lawyer for you that we trust that you know, like I don't do bankruptcy, but I have a go-to bankruptcy attorney that I trust. I don't do criminal defense, but there are LGBTQ people that need criminal defense and that go through bankruptcy or that have tax issues. So if it's an area of law that I don't handle, we will find someone that I trust implicitly that can help you. And then our firm will obviously handle the areas that we do handle.
Well, somebody just asked me this morning before the show, who actually lives in New York and listens to our show on iHeartRadio, wants to know if you're going to be doing any work in the New York area.
Yeah, so I will actually be, we have reciprocity between Pennsylvania and New York. So I myself will be getting licensed in New York. Arizona is our furthest, first expansion location, where I believe in March or April of 2022 will be in Arizona. But New York will be soon, and that will be myself getting licensed in New York. We won't have a physical office right at the outset, but that doesn't matter anymore. Yeah, exactly. It doesn't matter anymore. And with the Accela train, I'm there in an hour in order to meet with people. And so yes, definitely New York is on the early side of our expansion. And Arizona is our furthest West Coast expansion state.
Well, and we've learned so much from Zooming. That's how we do our show. This is a live show. A lot of shows out there are taped shows. Ours is live. We're going to be talking about, before I get started, because again, there's always new people tuning in every week. Just tell people about your firm. You have the greatest story of how you got started.
The greatest stories are always the most random stories, yeah. I feel like. So I was going to be an international human rights lawyer, and that was always sort of the dream. And I was going to travel the world and work on international human rights issues. And I got there. I was doing that. I succeeded at that. And so I was living in Beijing, and I had worked in human trafficking there. And then I was working at the War Crimes Tribunal for the Rwandan genocide and working on genocide and crimes against humanity. And then I quickly realized that is not what I feasibly could do for the rest of my life while remaining sort of a empathetic human, but dealing with genocide and crimes against humanity and human trafficking all day, every day takes its toll on people. And so I realized that's not what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. And so came back to Philadelphia, and I, at that point, had no idea what I was going to do. And for 7 months, walked around aimlessly, thought my work ethic had gone out the window. And one night I'm having drinks with a gay couple friend of mine, friends for a long time. And they're like, you know, I met one of your kind today. And I was like, I'm, you know, a lawyer. And they're like, yeah, you know. And so I was like, oh my God, why did you have to meet with a lawyer? And so they laughed, and this was long before we thought marriage equality would ever become a thing. Right. So this is like if I opened my firm in 2008, this was like, you know, 2007. And so one of them is out of the country and here illegally, and they couldn't get married, and they never thought that they could get married. So how could they form, and they owned a business together. So how could they protect their assets as if they were legally married without being able to get legally married, and as well as their businesses and estate planning and. So there were all these practice areas that came into helping them recreate a legal marriage. So they went to a lawyer, and the guy, you know, in one of the skyscrapers, 47th floor of whatever. And the guy, they walk in, and the guy's like, oh, you business partners. And my friend's like, no. And, oh, you know, friends. No. Oh, brothers. No. And like, the guy just kept digging the hole, you know, digging and digging the hole deeper and deeper. And so then finally the guy, you know, his voice gets real low and the air quotes come up and he's like, partners, partners. And if ever you have to lower your voice and air quotes come up, just know that whatever's about to come out of your mouth is not good. Okay. And so my friend's like, yes, we're life partners. And so totally not thinking that they hired him because of that, I was like, well, I know a couple lawyers that are totally cool with the fact that you're gay. I can refer you. And he's like, no, we gave him a $5,000 retainer check. And I mean, yeah, my mouth did what yours did. Like my jaw hit the floor and I was like, seriously? And he's like, well, Ange, you know, we don't have a ton of options out there. And he's good at what he does, regardless of the fact that, you know, he's not necessarily comfortable with us being gay. And then it just clicked, right? Like human rights has always been my passion. And I, you know, I'm 4'11". They say it's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog. And that's my motto. And we were then and are now, the, you know, an underdog in this country. So it dawned on me then, this is the human rights issue that I will work on for the rest of my life. I am a lesbian. We are the underdogs. We do have human rights issues right here in the US. And Giampola Law Group was born like that. And then Philly Gay Lawyer is the advocacy arm of what it is that I do. So that is how Giampola Law Group was born.
But you know what, Angela, if you look back on your career, you really care about people. I mean, everything you've done is about caring for other people.
You know, and I think that's why I love so many lawyers are miserable. And I don't understand it. I don't understand it. And I think it's because not many lawyers enter the field truly from a place of wanting to help people. They right. enter, you know, like there are no lawyers in my family. That's not true. There was one lawyer in my family, my uncle, who passed away. And so, but he was the only lawyer in my whole family. And I didn't grow up, you know, he lived in California. I lived in Quebec. So all to say, I didn't grow up in a family of lawyers. It's not like my parents were lawyers and I was, you know, the seventh generation of lawyers and you just knew that you were going to become a lawyer. Right. It was nothing like that. I mean, you know, we're blue collar, you know, raised by single mom. And so becoming a lawyer is and was a privilege and an honor. And I do it to help people. And I love what I do.
But you know what? There's attorneys out there, because I deal with them every day, that do say they care about what, you know, what they do.
What they do.
But I got to tell you, you walk the walk. And talk the talk. You really do. I mean, I don't think I've ever said that to you, but I think it is so amazing. So can you imagine making an appointment with Angela? And you know what? You're working in an area that, I mean, we're not 100% acceptable, which is really sad. And you're walking into an attorney's office not knowing what to expect. This is so great that you could sit down with Angela. She's going to understand your problems. She cares. I mean, I don't want this to turn into a commercial, but it's just, I'm always so awed on what you want to do between, you know, now and down the road. Because I am like amazed.
And don't forget. And don't forget, Nico will be there.
You travel with him.
I travel with him.
Angela's showing her little dog. It's amazing. We're going to go to break. We come back. We got to talk about name changes.
We're going to talk about name changes.
Yeah. And there's a lot that's involved. The process, minors. So give everybody your phone number.
215-645-2415.
And give them your website.
GiampolaLaw.com. And you can find my blog at PhillyGayLawyer.com.
We're going to go to break. We're here with attorney Angela Giampola. And we've got some great stuff in the second half of the show. We're going to break. We'll be right back.
Giampolo Law Group is so passionate about estate planning, they went so far as to trademark, where there's a will, there's a way. A properly structured trust will avoid putting your loved ones through the expensive, lengthy, and emotionally draining court probate process. Most important, you can prevent some or all of your assets from being subject to estate law upon your death, allowing more of your estate to be enjoyed by your loved ones. The marriage equality ruling drastically changed the legal landscape for LGBTQ couples, and Giampolo Law Group is experienced with what those changes mean for estate planning. Giampolo Law Group can help you establish or reorganize your estate plan to address your concerns while accounting for the complexities in state and federal laws. The attorneys at Giampolo Law Group are experienced in assisting clients with estate planning, specifically in preparing or revising wills, trusts, and the other ancillary documents such as powers of attorney and hospital visitation forms. Contact Giampolo Law Group today for a complimentary consultation. 215-398-6579. Remember, where there's a will, there's a way. You're listening to the Ask the Expert Show, sponsored by the Cardamone Law Firm for Injured Workers. Now here's your host, Steve O, and his expert guest.
And we're back. This is the Ask the Expert Show. We're with you every Tuesday from 10 to 11. If you miss a show, you can actually go to 860's website. And all the shows are up there that you can listen to. I love Shocking Angela. And it's on my list of things I wanted to tell her today. So I live here in South Florida. And there's somewhat in certain areas of Fort Lauderdale, there's a big LGBTQ community. And I knew this already. It wasn't, but I have people I know. There's an area that own restaurants. Some of the finest restaurants and chefs in a place called Wilton Manor. And I was talking to a friend of mine who's a chef owner at a restaurant, Wilton Manor. And I told him about Angela and what she is doing. Now, here's a guy who lives in, Angela understands this. Here's a guy who lives and works in Wilton Manor, which is a huge LGBTQ community. And he said to me was, that is incredible. Aww. And for him to say that, because you would think, you know, there's other attorneys, but just because you put, I got to say this, just because you put on your website LGBTQ law doesn't mean you really understand.
Right. Or even practice it. Right. Absolutely. Or even practice it. I mean, I know a ton of attorneys who are really criminal defense attorneys and then put, you know, an LGBTQ page up on their website, right. You know, around family law. And it's like, you don't even do family law. Yeah, it's become an SEO, you know, play that is unfortunate. But, you know, for lawyers that really, truly live in and work in the community, you know, it's not as often that you find that.
Well, he's actually listening to today's show, and he will be excused because when you're in the restaurant business, you work late hours. So I will understand if he's, but he said, I'm going to listen today. So Jack, you're getting the full, you know,
you're getting the plug.
Yeah. So Angela, can anyone change their name?
Yeah. So anyone can change their name that wants to change their name. And a lot of people know that when they get married, you get a free name change, if you will, when you're getting married, but only up to a certain degree. You can make your last name your middle name. You can take a new last name. But those are about the only changes that you can do for free in the midst with a marriage license. And right now, there's in the last couple of years, I've seen a big trend of people getting married and wanting a new last name, a combined last name, right? So taking the last name of both people and combining them, like if you're Schultz and Sullivan, and creating, you know, a new last name out of those two. That's not considered, that's not free with your marriage. You actually need to go through a name change in order to do that. And then obviously my, my transgender clients who are transitioning and want to take on a new name, that is obviously a complete new name change. So anyone can change their name. And it just depends if you're doing it in the process of getting married, whether or not you want a completely new last name.
What is the process like?
So again, it would be different depending on the why, right?
Well, if you're married, if you're getting married, right?
Or if it's a transgender name change. But the process is fairly simple in Philadelphia. So it differs county by county by county, and especially state to state. It's a completely different process. But in if it's a transgender name change, we get all of the biographical information. We get your ID, we get your birth certificate, social security card, all of that. And a one sentence as to why you want to change your name. So in your own words, one sentence as to why. And then we can, and it's costly in fees alone, you're looking at $1,000 just in costs to the city of Philadelphia. It's archaic, but we have to publish in two periodicals. And they do that just in case. Again, it's archaic. So imagine 300 years ago when all they had was to be able to read the newspaper, and everybody read the newspaper for everything. And so right. If you were trying to avoid creditors, if the creditor was reading the newspaper, they would see, oh, this person is changing their name, trying to avoid the debt that they owe me. So we have to publish in two periodicals, but for my transgender clients, we can get that waived for safety reasons. And there's a filing fee, a very hefty filing fee with the Court of Common Pleas. And I can also get that waived for my transgender clients for just the costs associated with it. So that's all in right there is about $900 worth of fees that we can get you waived in Philadelphia County. So that's huge. So then once we file, so with all of that, we file the name change petition. And then when we get the court date, then you go and you get clearances from family court. You get clearances from family court saying that there's no child support judgments against you. Then you go to the Court of Common Pleas and you get a civil judgment clearance saying that there are no judgments against you. And again, the idea being is that you're not changing your name to avoid child support judgment or to avoid a judgment against you. So then we get those clearances and then you get fingerprinted. And that goes up to the FBI to make sure that there's nothing federally that you're trying to avoid. So the process is really all about safeguarding creditors and the government from, you know, you potentially changing your name to avoid all of that. And then once we have all of that, we provide that to the court. And then we have a hearing in the name change department where we put everything on the record, your name, your address, the reason why you want to change your name, all of the clearances that we've provided. And then you have
a lot of work involved.
It takes a long time. I mean, so many people come to me wanting their name changed for usually graduation. So they usually come to me at the beginning of the year wanting their name changed so that their chosen name that they want is on their diploma. Sorry, I couldn't think of the word diploma, decree, what have you. And it takes a long time from the minute we file to the getting the court date. We're looking at 4 to 6 weeks. Then we finally get the court date, and then it takes months to get to the court date. Then we have the hearing, and then it takes a couple of months before we get the judge to sign off on the name change decree. So minimally, give yourself 6 to 8 months before I can hand you a name change decree.
Wow. Angela, you know, I've got so many questions for you, but there's a question that I'm just oozing to ask you. If you had to change one statute in Pennsylvania, what would you change?
Oh, wow. Like of any law whatsoever?
That's related to the LGBTQ community.
Well, I mean, hands down, it would be to have employment discrimination protections in Pennsylvania. that would be obviously the macro one. We have it federally now due to the Supreme Court and the Bostock case, but to say that the Pennsylvania legislature cared enough, you know, to do that would be huge. And then just because we're talking about name changes, making it easier for the transgender community to change their name. There are a lot of laws out of the whole process that I just described to you. There are a lot of things that could be made easier. For instance, it not the filing fee not being so expensive. And the clearances. There's a lot that
can
I would
you
change.
Shorten the time that it takes.
Yeah, shorten the time that it would take, the cost associated, the need for all the clearances, publishing in two periodicals when no one's reading these things. It's really just a cost associated for no reason. So, all of that.
Well, I got to tell you, every week I learn so much from you. And I'm so, you know how excited I am for you that you're going to be branching out. Angela's with us the first every week at 10 o'clock. Just give everybody your phone number.
Sure. So you can give me a call at 215-645-2415. And my website is www.jampololaw.com. And you can also find my blog at phillygaylawyer.com.
When are you going to do your first book?
in my spare time, definitely in 2022. That is earmarked for 2022 for sure.
Well, Angela, thanks again as always for being with us. We'll see you again next Tuesday,
next week. Yes.
Enjoy your travel safe
always.
We'll see you next week. We're going to go to break, and when we come back we have our business broker show. We'll be right back. Thanks, Angela.
Bye, Steve.
Recording stop.
Giampolo Law Group is so passionate about estate planning, they went so far as to trademark, where there's a will, there's a way. A properly structured trust will avoid putting your loved ones through the expensive, lengthy, and emotionally draining court probate process. Most important, you can prevent some or all of your assets from being subject to estate law upon your death, allowing more of your estate to be enjoyed by your loved ones. The marriage equality ruling drastically changed the legal landscape for LGBTQ couples. And Giampolo Law Group is experienced with what those changes mean for estate planning. Giampolo Law Group can help you establish or reorganize your estate plan to address your concerns while accounting for the complexities in state and federal laws. The attorneys at Giampolo Law Group are experienced in assisting clients with estate planning, specifically in preparing or revising wills, trusts, and the other ancillary documents such as powers of attorney and hospital visitation forms. Contact Giampolo Law Group today for a complimentary consultation. 215-398-6579. Remember, where there's a will, there's a way.
Bristol Group helps business owners plan the sale of their company, set the right valuation, identify targeted buyers, and manage the negotiation and transaction process. Selling a business is complicated and time-consuming. It can take years to prepare a business for sale in order to attract the right buyers and maximize your selling price. Bristol Group advises business owners about ways to prepare their company's sale and ways to structure the best deal. They identify the right strategic and financially qualified buyers to streamline the transaction process and optimize your selling price. Bristol Group strives to build long-lasting relationships with business owners and buyers seeking to acquire a business. They can often match buyers and sellers within their own network without going to the external market. The Bristol Group team has over 30 years experience helping business owners to transition ownership of their company so that they can retire or move on to their next venture. Their team has deep experience across business sectors, including manufacturing, distribution, and services. The first step in the process is to define your goals and timeline and to understand the market value of your business. Please contact Bristol Group to schedule a complimentary and confidential discussion. You can reach them online at bristoladvisor.com. That's bristoladvisor.com, or call them at 484-354-4274. That's 484-354-4274.
Welcome to the Ask the Expert Show, sponsored by the Cardamone Law Firm for Injured Workers. Now sit back as Philadelphia's top experts in the legal, health, financial, and home improvement world educate you in the fields of workers' comp law, wealth management, family law, estate planning, pain management, and more. Call in now if you have a question for our experts at 888-329-3306. Now let's welcome our host, Steve O.
show. It's a new show. This show, we have had so many listeners ask us to add a show on this, on buying and selling a business. And I got to tell you, we have been so blessed. We got one of the greatest business brokers in Pennsylvania. And I'm so excited to launch this new show. It's very hard to get on our show. We rarely have openings, but we got an opening. And let me introduce you to our new expert from Bristol Business Brokers, Mahan Gandecha.
Very good, Stephen. Excellent.
How's that? Did I do it right?
We practiced a couple of times. So I think the story I told you is people, you know, my whole life, people have had a hard time pronouncing both my first name and my last name. And I've heard every variation. And, you know, nothing bothers me at this point. But
right.
In my yearbook years ago, wrote a little funny thing. You know, Mahan or Johan, they all lay eggs. So Mahan is the way that people remember it.
Well, I got to tell you, your bio is amazing. And since this is our launch, our first show, I want you to tell people about who you are, your company, and what you do.
Sure. And Stephen, the first thing I'll say is the darn lawnmower chose to go by my house right about now. There's nothing in the background. That's what that is.
It always works.
It always, yeah, literally. The whole week.
I can't hear it, so that's good.
Yeah. So, yeah, happy to be on your show, Stephen. So I was really excited when you called me. And at first, I have to say, I was saying, well, me, are you sure you want me on this show? And then, you know, I thought about it and I said, you know, I've been on both sides. I've been, you know, a business owner. I've done business transactions in the corporate world for a lot of my career. And then, you know, recently, I've been helping people transition their own companies. So it started as a passion project for me, you know, because I've been a business owner and I've gone through the ups and downs, you know, through my own network, I was just sort of connecting people and somebody said, you know, why don't you do this, you know, in a more structured way and, you know, take all of those skills you've worked in corporate mergers and acquisitions and kind of apply them, you know, on a different scale, right, to small business. The pieces are all the same, right? You're going through exactly the same process. It's just scaled at a different level. And so that's one of the things I'm doing as a passion project right now. I think one of the things that COVID has done is it's, you know, caused people to re-examine their relationship with work. We now have 24 hours in the day, and it's up to us to figure out how we want to allocate that time, right? There's a bucket that goes to sleep, and then there's the rest of it. I no longer have, you know, 2 hours of commuting a day. I no longer have all these other things happening in my daytime. So I can probably take on more than I would have in the past. And so I think that's a theme that I'm experiencing. You know, I've got a portfolio of things that I'm working on. And I think it's a theme that I see other people going through in the context of, is this the right time to start a business, right? I've got a little bit more capacity. I've got a little bit more freedom than I would have had in the past. Is this the time to either give up what I'm doing and start a business or ramp up a business while I'm doing something else because I've got the bandwidth now? So, you know, that those thoughts went through my mind when we had the initial conversation that I'd love to share my experiences, right? Going through all of those different phases of my life and evolution that I've gone through. So my basic background, I was born in Africa of all places. So I was born in Tanzania, Africa, you know, and I was very young when my parents then moved to the UK. So I grew up in London, did all of my early schooling in London. And then I guess my dad had itchy feet, so he moved over to Canada. And so I did my high school and university education in Canada. And then I got itchy feet and I moved out here. So we were in North Carolina for about 10 years and have been in the Philadelphia area for about, gosh, 11, 12 years now.
Oh, no. Is it time for you to move again? It sounds like
I don't know. You know, Stephen, it's interesting you say that. So I'm going to the airport this afternoon to pick up my son from California. So he decided he's you know, it's a tradition. It's continued. He's going to school in L.A. So, okay. Yeah, it's in the genes, I think.
So is what's going on? Is this a good time to sell or buy a business?
Yeah, really interesting question, Stephen. I think if you pair it back, there are a few different things to ask, right? So a couple of themes we'll touch on, but just sort of, you know, high level, you've got a large group of business owners who are baby boomers, and they're figuring out, you know, how long do they want to stay in the business? You know, as we all know, running a business is one of the most difficult and stressful things you can do. You're always on call. There is nobody to pass the buck to. It all comes to you, right? You're responsible for making payroll every month. You're responsible for paying the rent. You know, so a lot of people love it. But when they get to a certain point in life, they're saying, you know what, I think I've had enough of this. And I think it's time for me to kind of take my next step. And I think, Stephen, what we saw overall is that COVID really accelerated the process. So people have been through a couple of business cycles historically, and they've been able to weather it. They always know what's on the other end. You know, if I can get through the next year or two, I know that there's something, you know, better on the other end. But with COVID, I think they just said, you know what, this is it, right? I'm kind of at the end of my rope. I don't think I want to go through another business cycle. So even for the businesses that have done relatively well through this past year and a half, I think a lot of those business owners are examining, should I be thinking about selling my business? So I think there are a lot of business owners who are going through that process right now, which creates a tremendous opportunity for people thinking of entering, right, buying a business.
Okay, but is it a good time now with the way the economy is and what's going on out there?
Yeah, it's a good time to borrow money. Let's put it that way. So there's a lot of funding available for people who are looking to buy a business. Interest rates are at historical lows. You've got a lot of financial incentives for buyers out there. And so I think for a buyer, it's actually a pretty good time. For sellers, it's also a pretty good time because there's so much cash on the sidelines. You know, private equity firms are sitting on a lot of cash that they need to spend. You've got a lot of strategic buyers who are looking to bulk up their businesses. So what it's done, Stephen, is it's kind of ratcheted up the multiples, right? So the price that people would pay for a business. Kind of like, you know, it's in a you know, very high level way of looking at it. If you take a look at the stock market and look at what's happened with the stock market, there's been a huge amount of liquidity that's come into the stock market. And we're seeing that same trend for small business, right? A lot of people are sitting on cash, they need to deploy, they don't know what to do with it. So they're, you know, bidding up values of businesses. So I would say on both sides, you know, it's easier to borrow money for lenders. And, you know, the valuations are high for sellers. Now, looking in my crystal ball, right, our collective crystal ball for next year, who knows, right? Who knows? We've had such a run up across all sectors. Have we bought 5 years of growth, right? Have we compressed 5 years of growth into 1 year? And are things going to slow down on the other end? Who knows, right? And the other dark cloud looming on the horizon for business owners is this talk about a change in the capital gains tax rate. So right now we're sitting for most people around 20% or so. If things change, that could go up, you know, a fair amount, right? Enough to make an impact. It could go up 5%, 7%. You know, so that's something that a lot of the savvy business owners have on their radar. And they're saying, you know what, times are good. Valuation is high. I don't want to have to take an extra hit on tax in the future. So now might be the time to do it.
Just got a tweet in from a listener wanting to know if buying a franchise is good, and two, do you handle franchises?
Yeah.
Selling a franchise.
Right. Fantastic question. So I think for an individual who hasn't owned a business, the first thing they might look at is a franchise. Why? Because they're visible. They're everywhere. You go down any main street, you see the same names, right? The franchise system is good if you like to operate in structure. If you like a template, this is how we do it. And if you think that you can succeed in that kind of environment, I think there are some pitfalls to look out for. Sometimes the franchises are very, very restrictive. Sometimes the fees associated with a franchise are very high. And it's not just the initial franchise fee and then the monthly percent of revenue that you're paying. There are multiple other fees in there. There are different operating fees. There are marketing fees that you're obligated to pay. A lot of them will require you to renovate the facilities every so often at your own cost, and you're obligated to do that. And then there are other franchises out there. I think, a lot of service franchises have certain performance targets that they want you to sign off on. So, you know, first year, they might expect you to bring in 100,000 in sales. Second year, they might expect you to bring in 300,000 in sales. And if you don't meet those performance targets, there may be clauses in there that you owe a penalty or that they can then offer your franchise up for sale.
Wow.
To someone. So, and you lose your initial franchise fee. So not all of them are like that, but I would say, you know, go in with your eyes open, do your diligence. You know, all the good franchise companies will have their business development people available to you, and you can have multiple conversations with them. They'll invite you in for a diligence meeting with their team, into their head office. Usually once they get serious about you and you're serious about them, it's usually a day or two. You can get to know the organization and the people. Do you trust these people? Do you want to do business with them? So I would say with a franchise, go in with your eyes open, have a lawyer, always have a lawyer, because those franchise contracts are structured sometimes with a level of complexity that's beyond the average person, right? Some of these could be like 40, 50 page contracts.
Man, how do people get a hold of you?
Yeah, so we have a website, you know, Bristol Group Online. But the easier way, Stephen, is just, you know, we have a little landing page where people can just enter their name, address, and phone number. We don't ask any upfront, you know, questions. So it's bristoladvisor.com. So no S, just bristoladvisor.com. And just fill in your information and, you know, we'll get back to you usually within 24 hours.
We just got a text from another listener wanting to know what are good areas of business to go into, i.e. restaurants.
So if your listener is specifically looking at restaurants, I would say there are companies out there that actually specialize in buying and selling businesses for restaurants. So if they'd like to get in touch with us, I can certainly put them in touch with some of those companies. You know, we don't typically
deal with restaurants. What other industries, though, Mahan, are also good?
Oh, industries in general. Yeah. Fantastic question. So, you know, I'm always sending my kids little, you know, information on things that I hear, you know, what's bubbling up, what's hot, you know, what's coming in the future. I think right now, my blanket statement would be any business that's generating cash is a good business right now. So if they've been able to weather the last year and a half and they've been able to get back on track, that says a lot, right? So it tells me that that's a solid business. If you're looking at specific sectors, I think anything related to information technology, anything related to software, cybersecurity, that's where there's tremendous growth moving forward. I think anything related to healthcare, just based on demographics, we've got a huge number of people who will be moving into their senior years and will require home healthcare. They'll require various other types of healthcare. Telemedicine is very big. Our group is actually very, very large in the healthcare space. So we do a lot of, we do a lot of transactions for healthcare companies, medical, transcription companies, medical billing companies, those kinds of things. We do a lot of work with software and information technology companies. So those are all fantastic areas. I think right now, based on where we are in the economy, building services is also very, very hot. If you go into a Home Depot, you know, you'll see the parking lot is full. Right? The Home Depot stock price has doubled in the last year and a half. You know, everybody is remodeling. We're spending so much time at home, right?
Right.
So we're remodeling and renovating. You know, everybody's putting in new granite in their kitchen and, you know, repainting the walls. So I think anything related to building services is, you know, and home remodeling is a great place to be as well.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm learning about your business. This is our first show with many to come. Where do you come in at?
Yeah, it's a good question, Stephen. So maybe I'll sort of start, take one step before that and say, you know, a lot of people who've been running a business are just full on, 24/7 running the business. They haven't thought about their next step in life. And, you know, it's really unfortunate because a life event, a healthcare issue could force you into a position where you have to sell.
Right.
And you never want to be in a position where you're forced to sell, right? It's never a good situation. You'll never get the right valuation. You won't be able to sell on time. So we always tell people plan, right? And sometimes the planning can take a few years in, advance.
Of course.
So I think that, you know, we always tell people think in advance, right? Do you have a succession plan? Do you know, is a family member interested in taking over the business? Would you think about, structuring a deal with your employees, right? Offering some kind of, equity buyout, over time. Or do you think that there's a competitor who might be interested, right? Would you be thinking about having a confidential conversation when the time is right with a competitor? So I think there are a lot of different things you can start thinking about. There's what we call an exit plan. It sounds formal, but it's really very basic. It's just what are your goals, for the business right now? What are your goals after you sell the business? And I think that's really important because people who've been going, 24/7 don't like to stop. And, once the business has moved on to somebody else's, in somebody else's hands, they don't quite know what to do with their time. So, it's always good to know what's your next step. And then I think the third thing is your financial situation, right? So really understand your financial situation. Are you prepared to leave the cash flow from your business, right? Are you relying on the income for your business to support you and to support your family? If you sell the business, whatever you think you can get for the business and however you choose to invest that money, is that going to be able to support you for the rest of your life?
This whole time that we're doing the show today, I'm thinking about a good friend of mine in Los Angeles who has owned a scrap metal business. Now, a lot of people probably have no idea what that is. They make a lot of money, And she has done very well. She's 70 years old, and she decided 2 years ago, you're talking about planning, I just don't want to do this anymore. I don't have the... She was always a go-getter, but she said, as I've grown old, I don't know if I want to do this for the rest of my life.
Right.
And she ended up hiring a business broker, and it took them about 2 or 3 years. But she will tell you today, because of hiring a business broker, she didn't leave any money on the table.
Yep.
She found they found the right buyer for her. And it was somebody who wanted to expand their business. Mm-hmm. This was not a new business for them, but she did extremely well. But I thought she would work till the day she died, and it just doesn't always work out that way. So what you're saying makes so much sense.
Yeah, I think so. And I think I'm glad that you said 2 to 3 years, because sometimes people have unrealistic expectations,
right,
that the business will sell within 6 months. I think this is a hot market. Some businesses are selling in 6 to 12 months. But if it's a bigger business and a specialty business, like a scrap metal business, where you don't have, a lot of people who are going to come in and buy that kind of a company, it will take you a little bit longer. So I'm glad that she was able to transition.
But it also, she'll admit to you, she could have sold it for less, but the business broker convinced her to be a little bit more patient, that it doesn't just happen overnight. And they were right. I mean, she waited 3 years to get basically the right amount of money. But if she would have sold earlier, she would have left a lot of money on the table.
Yeah. Well, Stephen, I liken it to a financial planner, right? So a lot of people, will go it alone, thinking that they can make the right investment decisions. And the problem is, when the market turns or there's some unexpected event, people get nervous, right? And they make the wrong decisions at the wrong time. So a financial planner is there to kind of, hold your hand, sort of a steady influence during those times, and is always operating on your behalf. So I think one thing people need to understand is that an M&A advisor or a business broker is somebody who is working usually on behalf of the seller. And so they have a responsibility to the seller. So we want to make sure that we're finding the right kind of buyers, not wasting people's time, with buyers who really don't have the financial capacity,
right?
Or in the end, are just sort of playing a game where they're looking at multiple opportunities at the same time and figuring out where can they get the best deal. So we want to screen out a lot of those people and really find the right buyers. And then we want to make sure that the deal terms are structured in a way that really are favorable for the business owner, right? And that's not just the valuation. We obviously want to negotiate the best valuation, but we also want to make sure that the structure is in a way that favors you. So what does that mean? So you know, one of the things that I think people need to understand, you know, is that it's very rare for a business owner to get 100% cash offer. Right? So they're not going to get, you know, if your business is worth, you know, call it, you know, $2 million, you're not going to get $2 million from a buyer when you sign, you know, the final, you know, purchase agreement. Usually that buyer is going to say, you know what, I'm paying a huge amount of money for this business. There's some risk in the business. I want you to bear some of the risk. So there are a couple of ways of doing that. Probably the two most common ways of doing that are seller financing and what's called an earnout. So seller financing is basically, instead of the bank making the buyer a loan, the seller will loan funds to the buyer. So say the transaction price is $2 million. The seller will come up with money, you know, through the bank and their own sources for, say, $1.5 million. The other half a million, they might say, okay, Mr. Seller, we'd like you to make us a five-year loan at 4% interest, and we will repay you, you know, the full value of your business over that five-year period. So it's good in a way for the seller. You get a steady income stream. Right. It kind of lowers your tax burden, distributes your tax burden over time. So that's the, you know, seller financing. The other approach is when there is a business, either it's a young business or a business that's grown very quickly, or a business where there could be a couple of very large accounts, right? And if one of those accounts leaves, there's tremendous risk for the buyer. So the buyer wants to make sure they're not overpaying for business in those situations. And so what they'll do is say, you know what, we love your business. We want to pay you, say, 50% at close. And then the other 50% or 25% will structure as an earnout, which means that you and I, before we close the deal, are going to agree on some performance targets. And usually you'll look at top line sales. So because it's very difficult to control the bottom line, right? Once right. you transition the business, the seller, the new owner can do all sorts of things to kind of manipulate.
Exactly.
So, you know, stick with something like the top line. And you set certain targets. You say, look, this year we did $1 million in sales. You know, I'm expecting that next year we'll do, you know, 10% growth. And then the following year we'll do another 10% growth. So you set those targets. And then the owner is rewarded if you hit those targets. So you'll get the full payout if you hit those targets. And if you miss the targets, then there'll be sort of an adjusted payout, which will be lower than, you know, than the full payout.
Well, we only have a few minutes. I have I've got several texts here. One of them wants to know, do you work on a retainer?
Some people do. We typically don't. So, you know, we're you know, as I said, it's a passion project for me and I think for most people in our firm. We love, you know, helping small business owners. So there's no upfront fee. There's no consulting fee for our time. Evaluation can take, you know, a number of hours to do, and we don't charge for that. So there's only a transaction fee upon, you know, a successful transaction. So once we actually find a buyer and the deal is closed, then we'll get a percentage of the fee. And it's a relatively small percentage.
Is Bristol nationwide?
We are. We are in all the major markets, you know, East Coast to West Coast. So I'm here in the Philadelphia region, but work also with businesses across the country. So we don't have, you know, we don't have a system where we're locked into a specific area.
Man, this has been such a great show. I knew it would go by fast. You will be back with us again next month. Let's give everybody again your phone number and your website address.
Yeah, Stephen, happy to talk to anybody who's thinking about selling a business or even buying a business, right? We love to build a network of people. So you can reach us at Bristol Advisor, BristolAdvisor.com. Just fill in your information there and we'll get back to you usually within 24 hours. And if you need to reach us by phone, the phone number is 484-354-4274. So again, probably the easiest way is just go on to bristoladvisor.com, leave your information, and we're happy to get back to you.
We've got about 30 seconds left. This will be my toughest question of the day. Why should I retain you?
Because you need a steady hand in the process. It's a complicated world. You know, there are a lot of pitfalls involved in selling a business. It's a super, super complicated process. And you need somebody who's looking out for your best interests. So even a lawyer may not know the nuances of your business. You know, a business broker, M&A advisor gets in there, understands your business to a level of detail that nobody else will. Your financial planner won't. The lawyer usually won't. So right now, you know, we're negotiating legal contracts. And there's certain things, you know, that we certain protections that we are insisting, you know, are there for the seller. So it's basic. Think of us as a quarterback. We're managing the entire process. There are multiple people involved in the process: the buyer, the buyer's representatives, the buyer's lawyer, your accountant, your financial planner. It gets super complicated to manage all of that. And once you get into the more advanced discussions and you get into due diligence, there's a tremendous amount of work back and forth, right? To help a buyer understand the business, to resolve questions around the business. It's very distracting for a business owner, right? You're going to take your eye off the ball to manage that whole process. So it's much simpler to have somebody working on your behalf.
The name of the company is Bristol Business Brokers. Our expert here is Mahan Gundecha, and he'll be back again with us next month on Ask the Experts, and we'll be back with you next week with more Ask the Experts. Everybody have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Thank you so much, Mahan.
Thank you, Stephen.
Great,
my pleasure.
Great information, and we'll see you guys next week.
You've been listening to the Ask the Expert Show, sponsored by the Cardamone Law Firm for Injured Workers. Join us every Tuesday at 10 for Philadelphia's finest experts in the legal, health, financial, and home improvement fields.
Bristol Group helps business owners plan the sale of their company, set the right valuation, identify targeted buyers, and manage the negotiation and transaction process. Selling a business is complicated and time-consuming. It can take years to prepare a business for sale in order to attract the right buyers and maximize your selling price. Bristol Group advises business owners about ways to prepare their company's sale and ways to structure the best deal. They identify the right strategic and financially qualified buyers to streamline the transaction process and optimize your selling price. Bristol Group strives to build long-lasting relationships with business owners and buyers seeking to acquire a business. They can often match buyers and sellers within their own network without going to the external market. The Bristol Group team has over 30 years experience helping business owners to transition ownership of their company so that they can retire or move on to their next venture. Their team has deep experience across business sectors, including manufacturing, distribution, and services. The first step in the process is to define your goals and timeline and to understand the market value of your business. Please contact Bristol Group to schedule a complimentary and confidential discussion. You can reach them online at bristoladvisor.com. That's Bristol Advisor.com or call them at 484-354-4274. That's 484-354-4274.